Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Christy Rosa. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Mohammed Abid, MD, MRCP, FRCPE, and Assistant Professor of Medicine in the Divisions of Hematology, Oncology, and Infectious Disease at the Medical College of Wisconsin. In a review paper published in Cancer Cell, Abid and colleagues took a closer look at determinants of response to SARS-CoV-2 vaccines in patients who underwent allogeneic or autologous hematopoietic cell transplantation, or those who had received CAR T-cell therapy or bispecific T-cell engagers. Among patients who did not undergo seroconversion after the primary administration series of an mRNA-based SARS-CoV-2 vaccine, 59% were found to develop antibodies following the third dose. Seroconversion rates were 63% in those who received autologous transplant, 58% in those who underwent allogeneic transplant, 40% in those administered CAR T-cell therapy, and 67% in those who were given BiTEs. In our exclusive interview, Abid further discussed the study and its results, and drove home the message that a third vaccine dose should be considered for these patients as often as possible. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Abid, to discuss your research letter. Maybe you could start off by providing some background to what is known about transplant and cell therapy recipients and their outcomes after infection with COVID-19, and what is also known about their responses to SARS-CoV-2 vaccines.
Christy, thank you for having me again. By now, we know that when transplant recipients, particularly hematopoietic cell transplant recipients and CAR T-cell recipients, develop COVID-19, they have pretty poor outcomes. Our large CIBMTA analysis that included 318 patients, we showed a mortality rate of 30% at 30 days after HCT recipients developed COVID-19. Another similarly designed registry analysis by European Blood and Marrow Transplant Registry that included 56 CAR T recipients, predominantly CD19, and all adults except for one child, also showed a fairly high COVID-19 attributable mortality rate, exceeding nearly 41% at 30 days. So once they develop COVID-19, HCT and CAR T recipients do not do well.
What would you say inspired your team's analysis of serological responses to a third vaccine dose in this population?
We know that HCT and CAR T recipients do not do well after developing COVID-19. Additionally, this subset of immunocompromised patients also do not mount an adequate immune response to SARS-CoV-2 vaccines, particularly humoral immune response. So we have to resort to certain novel strategies. In parallel, over the last few months, we know from general population that waning immunity can be counteracted with an additional dose of SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. And that was really the first thing that we wanted to explore, a third dose of a messenger RNA-based vaccine. And that really prompted us to, we are looking at several ways how we could improve immune response in this patient subset. This was really the first avenue we wanted to explore.
Could you provide additional insights into the patients included in the analysis and maybe walk me through the methods that you used for the research?
With this background in mind, we designed this study with fairly strict inclusion and exclusion criteria and examined serological responses to a third messenger RNA vaccine dose, primarily BNT162B2 and mRNA 1273. The key inclusion criteria obviously was that all patients did not seroconvert to any degree after receiving the two-dose primary vaccination series. Had their immune responses checked after two doses, as well as after the third dose, had enough time between the second and the third dose, as well as the third dose and humoral response assessment to be able to mount a response based on their delayed immune reconstitution. We excluded those patients who had developed COVID-19 anytime prior to the third dose, just to be homogeneous there. And for detection of antibodies, at all time points, we used a single validated immunoassay that detected IgG directed against the receptor binding domain of the S1 subunit of the spike protein of the virus.
What would you say were the key findings from your research? Did you find any of them particularly surprising?
So with this inclusion and exclusion, we put together a cohort of 75 patients that included 30 autologous recipients, 26 allogeneic recipients, 10 CAR-T, and 9 bispecific T-cell engager recipients, all myeloma, predominantly BCMA-directed, a handful GPRC5D-directed BiTE. I just have to reiterate the fact that all these 75 patients had not seroconverted to any degree after receiving two doses of the initial primary vaccination series. 59% developed protective antibodies after the third dose. And when stratified by subgroups, the seroconversion rates were 63% among autologous transplantation recipients, 58% among allogeneic transplantation recipients, 40% among CAR-T, the lowest seroconversion rates, and 67% among myeloma BiTE recipients. While we found no significant differences in seroconversion rates based on contemporary relevant clinical variables, corticosteroid usage stood out, both in terms of seroconversion rates as well as a median IgG anti-spike titers post-third dose. There was a significant difference between the titers among those patients who were receiving any dose of corticosteroids at the time of third dose versus those who were not. And then on subgroup analysis, we also noted a significant difference between seroconversion rates among myeloma and lymphoma patients. In autologous transplant subgroup, myeloma patients seroconverting better than lymphoma patients. One surprising finding that I, a couple of surprising findings that were surprising to our group were that although we looked at gender in a binary manner, unfortunately, that data limited us forced us to do that. So while there were no significant differences in seroconversion rates between males and females, the median titers after a third dose were significantly higher among females than males after a third dose. The other surprising finding was that although seroconversion rates were pretty decent among BiTE recipients after a third dose, median anti-spike titers were actually fairly low among myeloma BiTE recipients. We do think that these findings are hypothesis generating and will lead to further studies.
How would you say these findings kind of fit with other studies that have examined a third vaccine dose in transplant recipients?
The data on the efficacy and safety of a third dose in this subgroup of patients are fairly limited. Three other studies so far have reported data of a third dose in an exclusive allogeneic transplant recipients. One study looked at 70 patients, another study looked at 42 patients, and a third study looked at 38 patients, really examining response to a cumulative three doses, not just a third dose. And fairly consistent, one of them reporting a seroconversion rate of 41%, another one pretty similar, and the study that looked at 38 patients cumulatively after three doses reported a response rate of 87%. So I think a third dose is something which is very important for this subgroup of patients, we conclude.
And expanding a little bit on what was found with regard to CAR T-cell recipients, what would you say are some of the factors that are indigenous to this population that may have accounted for blunted responses to vaccines that people should be aware of?
Continued blunted responses are concerning among CAR T patients. They are certainly in congruence with other reported literature. There are factors in a CAR T recipients are profoundly immunosuppressed by the time they get the CAR T, primarily because of their underlying disease being so refractory. By the time they get to CAR T, patients are could not be maintaining good performance status. Factors related to underlying CAR T construct, signaling domain, the antigen that it targets, cytokine release syndrome, the severity and duration of it, immunomodulators that are used to counteract these early on-target off-tumor toxicities, and really some of the other collateral damage that comes along with CAR T, such as prolonged B-cell aplasia, prolonged cytopenia, are really some of the factors that are driving these continued and consistently blunted immune responses in CAR T patients.
Are there any approaches that are kind of being explored to overcome some of these challenges faced with getting responses in these patients?
I think first and foremost, mitigation strategies, vaccination of all healthcare providers caring for this group of patients. Caregivers involved with the care should be completely vaccinated with the booster dose. A third dose for the patients themselves is imperative, you know, an additional fourth dose is now recommended by the CDC as per the revised guidelines, at least 3 months out from the third dose. Novel strategies such as early usage of broadly acting monoclonal antibodies that are approved for usage in either prophylactic setting, in a pre-exposure setting, or to prevent progression of COVID-19 from mild to moderate or severe illness could certainly be used earlier in case of patients who are at a higher risk of diminished or no responses to any doses of vaccines.
I know we kind of we went a little more in depth on what was seen with regard to the transplant recipient subset and the cellular therapy recipient subset. Was there anything that you wanted to add with regard to what was seen with those who specifically received BiTEs?
In terms of bispecific T-cell engager recipients, there are really no data on vaccine responses. You know, there are very small studies, you know, one or two at the most. So it's early and premature. Multiple myeloma patients who are receiving bispecific T-cell engagers are relapse refractory as of now. With each subsequent relapse disease biology changes, accumulation of mutations occur, patients' performance status declines. There's just so much going on, and then bispecific T-cell engagers come in and targeting specific tumor antigens, and then depleting normal cells that also bear those antigens. There's certain degree of collateral damage. As at this point in time, it would be premature to comment on that. As a greater body of data evolve, I think we would be in a better position to comment on some of the mechanistics that underlay blunted immune responses.
Are there any limitations to this analysis that should be noted?
There are limitations to our study. First and foremost, it is indigenous to the retrospective design of the study. Secondly, we were limited by the data we had. We did not have a serial assessment of humoral response at predefined time points. More importantly, we did not capture any cellular immune responses, which are equally important as antibody responses. And then the latest variant of concern, B.1.1.529 Omicron variant, which we luckily are almost over with at this point, we can't comment on protection with a third dose against Omicron variant, primarily because our cohort included 8 patients. Our 75 patients included 8 patients only who had received either after or around November 26, 2021, the time at which World Health Organization declared Omicron variant as a variant of concern. So unfortunately, our study is limited in terms of providing any information on protection against Omicron variant.
Okay, so I know earlier you alluded to a couple of areas that might be ripe for further exploration. Are there any next steps to this research? Are there any open questions that you would like to see answered?
We certainly need to see the efficacy and safety data of monoclonal antibodies. We have sotrovimab, and then we have Evusheld, the two monoclonal antibodies that are approved so far in the pre-exposure setting and prevention of progression of illness setting. That's something that's worth exploration. A fourth dose among the subset that do not seroconvert or have low response after 3 doses is worth exploration. And then there are large prospective studies that are ongoing, such as a large CIBMTR BMT-CTN study is underway. The results are awaited. Interim analysis of results will be presented at the American Society of Transplantation Cellular Therapy meeting in late April in Salt Lake City. So we are keenly looking forward to those results. But I think these are some of the avenues that are worth exploration.
So just to package this all up, what would you say your colleagues should take away from this research?
The big takeaway from our study is that a third dose works, and a third dose should be considered for every transplant and CAR-T and BiTE recipients as much as possible. Patients who don't respond even to a third dose, a subset of patients will benefit from reassessment of antibodies. If a third dose doesn't work, go for a fourth dose. Discuss with your infectious disease colleagues at the center. This is a multi-disciplinary collaborative approach that we have to provide. Talk to your clinical trials office. Keep talking to your industrial partner. See if you can get some antibody usage going in this subset of patients, even off-label. At the end of the day, we are all clinicians, and patients' best interest is first and foremost.
Absolutely. Beautifully said. So those are all the questions that I have for you, Dr. Abid. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me about your research. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.